How to launch if you have no product, no list, or no budget in 3 simple steps with Robert Khoury. Episode 9, let's do it. Welcome to the Money Diver Podcast. I am Borja Bezzo, and every week I bring you step-by-step actionable online marketing strategies that you can implement in your business to see the results fast. So let's the diving begin. What is up, amigos? Welcome back to the Money Diver Podcast. This is your friendly host, Borja Bezzo. And I just came back from New York City to Florida, where I was headhunting for some developers, connecting with some developers that will help me create a piece of software that will help a lot of you and make your life easier, because I have been chatting with some of you via email, and you've been telling me some of your problems, and so I decided to create this new awesome thing that I will tell you more about in the future. So right now, I want to let you know, I want to tell you about today's episode, because it is awesome. It's going to help a lot of you. It's going to make things very clear, because I've noticed a certain trend amongst beginners. You know, they don't know where to begin, where to start. When you're just starting out, you're sort of, you know, lost. You don't know where to start. You might have no product. You don't have an idea. Perhaps you don't even have a budget. And that's what today's episode is all about. I have with me Robert Khoury from feedastarvingcrowd.com. And he's going to talk about how to start if you have no product, no list, or even no budget. So stay tuned, guys. We're going to jump right into the interview. We're going to go through this step-by-step process that you have to follow if you want to create something, but you have no idea or how to create it, or you don't even have someone to sell it to. So let's jump right into the interview with Robert. Hey, Robert. What's up, man? Thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Great to be here.
Yeah. So Robert, today we're going to take our guests through the process of how to launch if you have no budget, no list, no product, no nothing. But before we get to that, would you mind telling our audience a little about your business? What is your business, and how did you get started with marketing?
Yeah, so I run a business called Feed a Starving Crowd, and what I do is I have 3 sections of my business. I've got a book, which is called Feed a Starving Crowd as well. It's a bestseller on Amazon, and it's been downloaded many, many times around the internet. And then I've also got a training course, which goes into the concepts of Feed a Starving Crowd in more detail. And finally, I've got my coaching and consulting that I do for private clients. So that's the 3 aspects to my business. It's mostly focused on marketing. So I show business owners different marketing strategies that are working right now that are inexpensive and in a lot of cases even free to implement.
All right, and so it's pretty straightforward, and people can find out about that at feedastarvingcrowd.com, right?
That's right, yes. Yeah, so any of your listeners can get a free download of the book from feedastarvingcrowd.com.
Okay, and how did you get to that business? How did you decide to make that your main business?
Look, I've been marketing ever since I was a kid. So when I was 7, we had at our school what we call a car boot sale or a car trunk sale. That they might call in the North America. So what happens with that is that you drive your car, you park it, and you fill up your trunk with as much stuff as you can sell. And then a lot of people come around and they all buy it from there. So I had a really good experience that day. Like we sold lots of batteries and flashlights and torches that were very high quality, whereas most of the other people were selling all the old used garbage around their house that they don't want anymore, like old books and old jumpers and old things like that. So ours was a lot better than the rest of the competition. And ever since then, I've kind of been fascinated with marketing and selling. When I was 16, I started a DJ business. At that stage, I invested $1,000 in the Yellow Pages ad because I thought, well, if I just sell 4 DJ jobs, then that would pay for that ad. So I've always been entrepreneurial from a very young age. And then I worked in the corporate world for quite a number of years after graduating from uni, did my MBA, and then I kind of moved into my own business after, you know, working in the corporate world and working in marketing agencies.
And you also have a deal in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, that's right. So there's a TV show pilot happening with Hollywood at the moment, and that's very excited, but we'll have to stay tuned to give you more information about that.
So you're a rock star, basically.
Slightly famous.
All right. And you also, some time ago, you almost broke the record for most attendees to a webinar with the strategy that we're going to talk about. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
Would you mind telling a little about that story so that people get a grasp of what they're going to learn here?
Yep. So the world record webinar attempt was with a client of mine in Australia who is a nutritionist. So what we did for the nutritionist client was to say, look, let's run a webinar where we can announce a new product for you. So we'll do a product launch via a webinar. And what we'll do is that we'll invite people for 2 weeks to come to this webinar through email marketing and Facebook ads. People can register for the webinar. We'll give them some good information, and then we'll announce your product at the end and do a launch. So that was essentially how that all worked.
Beautiful. And how many people did you get into that webinar?
We had 7,991 register, which was exciting. There's a lot of people. And we had, you know, as far as we could see, there was about 75 to 80% that actually showed up. The reason why we don't know the exact number is, of course, the webinar platform crashed 1 minute into the webinar. It couldn't handle that volume of people.
How do you do? What do you do with that?
It's a disaster. If you've got 8,000 people waiting to hear about the webinar, and the whole thing dies and no one can access it, you can understand there's a lot of anger and anxiety amongst the customer base.
I figured, yeah. So, all right, so you did this webinar, but you didn't have a product yet. So my question is, what comes first, the list or the product idea? What do you do first?
Well, the way that I go about it, if my client hasn't got a list and they haven't got a product, you can still do a launch. There's a few ways to do that, and we'll go through that now. So essentially what you do is you work out what you want the product to be. So in your mind, you determine what it's going to be. If it's going to be a training course, then you say, okay, well, in week one, we're going to teach this. In week two, we're going to teach that. In week three, we're going to teach this. So you've got it like a 5-week or a 10-week training plan for what that course is going to teach. And then what you do is you don't even need to create it yet. So you say that you're going to run a webinar. You put a webinar landing page up, and then you get people to register for the webinar. And at the webinar, you pre-sell that new course. You say, we've got a new course coming out in 2 weeks' time. This is exactly what we're going to cover. If you'd like to buy it, here's the price. So essentially, that's the overall strategy, how you do it.
Okay. But how do you get that list? How do you say, all right, I need people? Where do I go and get people?
Yeah, so a lot of people say to me, Rob, well, this is all easy for you. You've got a big list. Well, guess what? I started with a zero list as well. You know, anyone that had a big list started with a zero list at some stage. So what you need to do, if you haven't got a list, then you're incorrect. You do have a list. Everybody has a list. So a lot of people come to me and say, Rob, I haven't got a list at all. I'm starting from scratch. What do I do? Well, we do have a list. We've got business cards. You've been to a lot of networking seminars over the years. You've got a lot of business cards. You've got Facebook friends. You've got LinkedIn connections. You've got mobile phone contacts. You've got Twitter followers. You've got an email address book. You've got past and previous customers and current customers. You've got plenty of lists. Everyone has lists. Now, not every single one of your Facebook followers might necessarily want to buy your new course, but there are a subsection of people in your community in one of those lists that would be able to buy what you're selling, surely. So what you can do is, you're more than entitled. If you've got a list of business cards, you can go through those business cards and see who might be interested in this new offering. And you can send them one email to invite them to come to your new webinar. It's perfectly okay to send them one email. It's not okay to add business cards to your email database and spam them ongoing, but you can certainly send people one personalized email to invite them to come along. That's fine. So even if you haven't got a list, you can absolutely make this happen. You might not break the world record. That's not going to happen, obviously, but you can get started.
Yeah, you can get started, and maybe you can play around with the pricing, because if you have very few people that you can contact, maybe you can play around with the pricing and perhaps create a high-end product and you know, level the field that way, would you say?
That's right. And it doesn't have to be a training product. You can offer coaching and consulting. So right. That means you don't have to have a product created. You just start the consulting as soon as someone buys.
Yeah, maybe you can just like write down the things that you know you can teach people in I don't know, in a Word document or something, and then say, all right, this is if I get any clients, this is what I will sort of get into with him and you know, get my services this way.
That's
And what about Facebook ads? Let's say you do have some budget, you do have some money that you're willing to spend. How would you go about using Facebook ads to create some sort of list?
So what you do is you run ads. There's two ways to do it. One, you can do the direct route. So the direct route is running ads directly to the webinar landing page or directly to like a book download page or thing like that. And you say, hey, download the book or hey, come to the webinar. Here's the link. So that's one way you can run the ads. The second way is indirect advertising or what they call native advertising. So what you do with that is you say, hey, look, check out this great article I wrote about, you know, XYZ. And so you advertise the article, and then once they read the article, at the bottom of the article, then you have a registration form where they can register for your webinar or you get your book or things like that. So there's two ways of going about it.
So if you advertise an article, and I advertise my podcast episodes.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Yeah, I advertise my podcast episodes. This is something I haven't really told a lot of people, but what I do is I advertise my podcast episodes on Twitter, and I target my guests' followers because they're already familiar with who's, you know, with you.
Smart
basically.
Play, very yeah, smart so, play.
So I use Twitter cards. I advertise my podcast, which is not a product. It's not. I mean, I'm not asking for anything. People can listen to it. They'll see the sign up form at my blog. And I can start creating a rapport with these people.
Very smart. Now, the thing is, if you're just getting started and you've got a very low budget, I would go the direct route because you haven't got budget to invest in blogs and podcasts and things like that.
I agree.
So but if you've got a bit of a following and you've got some traction, then absolutely, that's how you get scale. So then you start to promote the content.
Yep. You mentioned LinkedIn. Mm. Now, I have no idea how you scrape or download emails from LinkedIn.
Yeah, very easy. You can just go to your contact list in LinkedIn and export it.
Oh, really? Just like that?
Just like that.
I didn't know that.
Now, again, you don't stick this into MailChimp and spam them. You just pick the selected people who would be the most likely to want to come to your new webinar, and then you invite them personally.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So
You treat it like a wedding invitation at this stage if you haven't got their permission to be in your database.
Right. Yeah. And if you have their phone number, you could
even call them up. Yeah, absolutely.
Call them up. And,
whatever it takes. Yeah, like this is, if you haven't got a list, you've got to get down and dirty. This is not a time to be high and almighty and think that you can just fill it up by osmosis. You have to actually get in there and do the work if you haven't got a budget.
Yeah, heck, go out and knock on doors.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Yeah, hustling. So now we have a list, right? We know people. We know who might be interested in our services. And we know, you know, what kind of services we're going to be offering because it makes no sense to get a list in, I don't know, health industry and then in marketing industry and you have no product, you have no idea. I mean, we do have a product by this stage or you know, some sort of idea what we're going to sell. What do you do next? Do you get people to, you know, try to promote this for you, like affiliates or something?
Absolutely. But that's the next step. So firstly, you have to launch it to your own people.
And you
get
do
some
launch
results.
It.
Yeah, you need to because, okay. I mean, if you come to me and you say, hey, I've got this new product or service, I don't know if anyone wants it yet, and I don't know if it's any good, but can you recommend it to your customer list? Well, I'm going to say, you know what? Can you give it a try first yourself and find out if it's any good before I put my reputation at risk? Because everybody who has a database wants to look after that database. They don't want to sell them crap.
Right.
So you need to prove it against your own list first, and then you can start to approach affiliates.
And do you simply – okay, so you're going to prove it against your own list.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Do you set up –
You run the webinar like we said. Yeah,
right.
Like you run the webinar, like we said, and then after, yeah, once the webinar's finished and you have some conversions and some people have purchased and they go through your program and they're happy, then you can go to affiliates like a month or two later to say, hey, we ran this webinar, we had 100 people that came, 10 people purchased it, they're all happy, there's no refunds. I've even got testimonials of people getting good results. I think this would be great for your audience. What do you think?
All right, that's great, because now you have, right, you have a list, you have a proven concept, and you can go to referrals with, you know, a high chance of getting some yeses and
that's
some
right.
promotion there. So how do you contact these people? How do you say, all right, you know, hey, promote my stuff?
I just mentioned the best way to do it. So essentially affiliates, you have to put yourself in the affiliate shoes, because we all think about it from our perspective. Like, hey, I want you to email my list for me. Well, let's say, for example, I spoke to you and I said, you know, Borgia, I'm going to, I've got a great new training program for Feed a Starving Crowd. I want you to email your database about my training program. Well, you're going to say, okay, Rob, well, that sounds all right, but, can you show me what the program looks like? You know, is it any good? What does it sell for? Who's using it? What kind of results are they getting? How many people buy it if we email it to 100 people? Like, what's the conversion rate? You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things you want to ask me before you'll agree to do a promotion to your database. And so before you ask anyone to promote to their database, you need to put yourself in their shoes and think, well, if this was my database, like, you know, I'm quite protective of mine, and these are the questions I'd want to have answered before I do a promotion.
Okay, so you know what you're going to say. You know what your pitch is going to be to affiliates, because you have some results. But how do you decide who you're going to contact? How do you find out who would be willing to become an affiliate? What kind of people? I mean, you have no idea who's out there.
Yeah, what you do is you look at, generally speaking, you look at who has a similar target audience to yours, but that doesn't sell a competitive product. So if I'm selling business training and you're selling business training, well, if it's the same kind of business training, then that's not good. But if you're a specialist in Facebook and I'm a specialist in Twitter, then maybe we can cross promote each other's audiences, because I don't talk about, you know, if I'm the Facebook expert and you're the Twitter expert, well, then I'm happy to invite you to talk to my audience in case some of the Facebook people want to learn about Twitter and vice versa. So as long as you're not selling exactly the same training and it's similar, like, and you're talking to a similar audience, then that's a great way to think about promotion partners.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Sort of, finding out what sort of services or products would come before or after your own services, kind of complementary products, sort of speak.
That's right.
Like, maybe you sell a website, or you can contact hosting, and you said that. On your book, I believe so, right?
Yeah. If you're like a marketing person, you can contact web hosting or web design people, because once people have a website that's finished, then they need to get some traffic to the site. They need people to visit it and buy from that site, so they need marketing.
Right. And what are other places would you recommend people going to find some affiliates?
You can also go to places like followerwonk.com, or you can go to there's lots of sites where you can actually search for related blogs to your industry. And so if you find blogs that are related, so for example, if you're selling, you know, if you're an expert in TV advertising, then you might find someone that's an expert in radio advertising. So like, there's lots of related industries to what you do.
And what do you say about online, like sort of online platforms or joint venture platforms? For example, I'm familiar with Manchai.com or JVZoo.com, which is a place where a lot of digital product sellers and affiliates get together, and
and they sell each other's products. Yeah, that's a good. They're both very good platforms. They're all great platforms. There's ClickBank. There's lots of them, but that's slightly more advanced strategy than if you're just getting started. If we're talking to people who are just haven't even got a list yet, haven't even got a product yet, well, you're going to get eaten by the sharks in those different platforms. You need to really, like I said, launch it to your own database first, and then handpick a few affiliates and approach them manually. And then you can start looking at those other platforms once you've got some traction.
Excellent. Now, let's take a step back into the webinar and into the launch, because a lot of people are going to be completely clueless about what to do in regards to setting up a webinar or anything with that. Would you do like a launch sequence? I know that this is some advanced techniques, doing like sort of four videos before your webinar and creating some, expectation for people, or would you go straight to the sale?
I would go, if you're just getting started, go straight to the sale. You haven't got time to do 2 weeks of a launch sequence with four videos and all the technology that goes with that. So you definitely just go straight to the sale.
All right.
Yeah. Doing a full product launch like that is a more advanced strategy.
Yep, it is. It is, because you have to make these videos, you have to make like a sequence and make each video make sense. You need script, and it definitely sometimes
it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It could take you up to, I don't know, 2 months, at least 2 months, because you need a month to figure it out and record it, and then you need a month to actually send out these videos and set up the sequence.
It's a great strategy, don't get me wrong. It works fantastically well, but it's not for people getting started. Because you just need to get out there, do a quick webinar, sell what you've got, get results, and then move on from there. Once you've got some results, then absolutely start looking at more advanced sequences like that. But if you're just getting started, keep it simple.
And would you at least recommend selling two emails, sort of, hey, guys, I don't know, contact whoever you're contacting, warm them up? And say,
depends
hey,
on your permission level. Depends on what the permission level is. So if you've got somebody who you've just met at a conference once, 5 years ago, and I would only send them one email because you don't want to be pushy.
Right.
And you haven't got permission to email them multiple times. Really, I would just do one friendly email that's personalized and go from there to start with. Once you've got an email database, that's very different. You can send 5 emails to your list before a webinar, but when you're just getting started and you don't have permission yet, you'd only want to be sending one email and a personalized email from your own email address.
Correct. And how about the webinar? How long do you do the webinars for?
Like, you can do them from about, look, everybody has a different opinion on this. My opinion is keep it short and sharp. Like, I've got great results from a 30-minute webinar in the past. You can do a 60-minute, a 90-minute. I've got one case study in my course is from a guy called John Morrow. He's one of the world's top bloggers, and he runs 3-hour webinars, and they get great results. But for me, I tried running a 2-hour webinar the other day, and it was, my conversions weren't as good when I ran a shorter one. So my audience likes shorter webinars. John's one likes longer ones. So it depends on what your audience is, and you'll know your market better than I do. Depends on what the different market is.
Yeah, and in case you do have a list, you can even ask. You can ask them.
You can say, hey, do you like shorter or longer? I think the way that people's attention spans are going in my market, they like shorter ones. John's ones is all bloggers. So bloggers, they're generally like really good writers, and they're happy to have longer, longer form content. So that's why the longer webinars work well for him. And so, like I said, depend on your market.
Yeah, definitely. If I was starting out, if I were to do my first ever webinar, I would definitely wanted it to be short, because I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be, sorting things out. I definitely want to get that over with.
Because the longer it goes, the more chance you have of screwing things up.
Oh, yeah.
And
what webinar software, let's get into the actual tools that people could use. What webinar software do you personally use?
There's a few different ones you can use. I'd rather not recommend on this podcast different providers, because I do work with a number of different ones. I'd rather not
do that.
But there are a lot of very good ones out there.
All right. Yeah. I'll provide people my own recommendations without listening to yours, so people know that. It's not coming from you. I'll put that in the show notes.
Thanks.
And what about payment processors? Is it the same sort of thing?
There's a lot of ones you can use again. Like, I do have relationships with about 4 different ones. So what I recommend is there are a number of ones that you can set up and get started with that don't have any setup fees.
Yeah, and man, you only pay. People can even use set up a PayPal.
You can use that absolutely.
Most thing that can do, like set up a payment, PayPal payment, and put the URL, the return URL may, be it back your registration page or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you record your webinars?
I do.
And would you advise someone doing their first webinar, record it?
Yep, record it and then send it to the people that couldn't make it, because, like some people say, do live only and don't record it and don't tell them that it's not recorded. That's okay. It's an advanced strategy and it does work for some markets. But if you're getting started, you need as many people as you can to watch this webinar. So you haven't got the luxury of playing funny games like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you can even, for the future, once you're more advanced and you kind of got your feet wet, you can even set up sort of evergreen funnels and use these pre-recorded webinars and keep it going week after week, in a way that makes sense, which would be a great way to set up some sort of passive income.
Absolutely.
If you
again, that's an advanced strategy, so you get to that a bit later.
Definitely, that's an advanced strategy, but it's all stuff that people should keep in mind, because once if they do it now and in the future, they'll regret not having record their webinars or set up this funnel and stuff. All right, all right. We have a very very simple process. We have something that people can implement very easily now. But I want to get into something that is very important, which is knowing your audience, this is something that I ask all of my guests, and it's about your avatar. Who is Robert Curry's avatar? Who is your business's avatar, your ideal customer? And what do you do to serve this person?
Look, for my private clients, it's someone that's doing between $1 and $5 million in revenue in their business. I can work with a business owner directly. They've got between 5 and 20 staff. They're like already like slightly well known in their market to an extent. Like they've got a social media following, an email list, some public press, and they've got some products created and they want to take it to the next level. That's my ideal client for a private client. For my book and my course, it's much wider than that. Like it's really anybody that wants to either start a new business or get in, like really ramp up their existing business. It's very, very wide, but it's designed to be like that. So it covers a lot of different industries, a lot of different tactics, a lot of different topics. But for my very private clients, I'm very specific about who I work with.
All right. Well, Robert, I think people have, no excuse now to go out and implement this, because we've covered all of the different things that people should do and can do to get started right away. Where can people go to find out more about you, or maybe get some of your training, what you provide? Because you do provide the book for free. Am I correct?
Yeah, the book's for free, and the course is available from the website as well. So you just go to feedastarvingcrowd.com, and you can get access to all that stuff.
And as always, that's going to be in the show notes, guys. So don't worry about that. You can go over to moneydiver.com/episode8. And you'll find that right there, episode 8 or 9. Sorry about that. Robert, once again, thank you so much for coming to the show. I hope to have you again in the future. And this was a pleasure for me, and I'm sure it was a pleasure for my audience as well.
I really enjoyed it, and thanks for having me on the show.
All right.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Robert. I don't want you to lose any time. I want you to jump right into your computer and start implementing all of these steps to get your first product out there, to start gathering a list of people that you can sell to, and forget about a budget. You just heard Robert say that you don't need a budget to create this. If you have some budget, you just learn how to use that budget all the same. So go out and do it and report back to me, ask for some help. I'll make sure to do everything in my power to help you. And if you have any questions or you want to make any comments, you can use the hashtag MoneyDiver9 on Twitter, and we can get the conversation going about this topic. Once again, guys, thank you so much for your time. Go out, implement, and keep on diving.